had barely time to prepare today at all. I, by hook and by crook, this morning I had to teach kites, and this afternoon I had to give my shiur, and then I had guests tonight, so whatever. Today it's a little bit skimpy. Apologize for that. But it is prepared. It is prepared. Okay? Zion Amunav. What? We'll see. Okay. Zion Amunav. Right? Yeah, at the top. You have a different print. Halacha Dalet. I look down the middle where we start. Do you want me to find it for you? Start. Give me a Gemara, I'll find it. Yeah, trust me, we're on page 13. There's four lines from the top. Star Shechosmo Chosmo Barba Edim. Do you have that?
Alright,
Star Shechosmo Barba Edim. No? Come, let me show you. Stash close my barbie. Okay. Stash close my barbie, and we start with the sign by four witnesses. The name to Shnaim are Rishonim, Kreim, and Psulim, and the first two witnesses were found to be related or apostle. Kosher, the document is nevertheless kosher. But this guy, Edis Bishtar, the document is sustained by the other two witnesses, which are subsequent, the two kosher ones, which are further down. So, yes. That's a good question. By Edis Bishtar, we don't necessarily say that. When you have a kat of Edim, which are actually interviewed and based in, you said together as one group, yes. But there's a whole long Reb Chaim who discusses why we don't say Nimtza Echad Karav Apostle on a shtar. But basically, we don't say that by a shtar. Even though we say Edim Achatumim Al Hashtar Nasa K'mishen Echrei Dusam Bebeistin, nonetheless, we do not assume that they're considered to be all one kat. Rather, if we can isolate two of them, which are kosher, then we accept their testimony by itself. That is true in the Bavli as well. We have that. They have a whole bunch of cases like that.
So why does it say Shnayim are Rishonim?
Well, it's a Chiddush. Even if the first two are Karov Apostle,
it implies that they're like the group together.
Right.
As opposed to Shnayim, any two.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because the next line. You might be right. Maybe you have a diuk there. But look, I think it is because of the next line, because it says B'yasach Keherche Kedus. Let it be like the Eidus is distant from the document. So I think the Chiddush is that they're the last two. So there's no kosher, it's like a hefsek, you know, it's a mechitza between the proper Eidus and the document, which are the psulim. So how do you know that they signed on this document, right? They might have come, maybe the two witnesses on the document are the first two. And these two came later on, just tacked on their names. So therefore, they're distant from the document. Yes?
I just remember the case by the it's a star by the Arif.
Yeah.
The Arif is a case where there's a star that it is fucking just about to cool also about.
Maybe that's where there's a problem by the Edus in the star. There's a problem where you have a problem with the Edus in the star. Or the Edim were Kroivim to one person and not to the other person. In other words, Edim which are Kroivim to a Loive. And not to an Orev, or to an Orev, and not to a Loiv. You're thinking about Marcus, the case of Marcus. So that's the case of Edim or Kroivim. It's with the same set of two Edim on the document. It's only one set of two witnesses. They're Krovim to somebody whom the document concerns. You understand the difference? There you have only two witnesses, and part of their testimony is Batel. Here, you have two witnesses who are apostle, two witnesses who are kosher. Okay, so the Yasa Kerei is the apostle. Leis Yochli, you can't say that. The Kama Rabbi Yasa, the Shem Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yasa say the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Edim Sulim Einom Nasim Kerechek Edus. When you have Edim Sulim, they're not considered to be distant because Shalobo Elach Shiach Sheru Shoget. The only reason why they come is to be makshir the get, meaning, precisely for this reason, you can't leave empty spaces on a document. You can never leave empty spaces, because then it's shayach that it was forged. That's why when we write a line on a get or a ksuva, we finish the line, hakol shor v'kayom, and that line is complete. You never leave any space. Right? What?
You can't leave anything from it?
No.
You
not above the witnesses have to sign the line immediately below the document, because otherwise who knows how much was forged there. So therefore here, you have this case also by in Bar Basra a lot about get makushar, and when you have a gitman with many signatures, every fold, when you fold the document, and you sign every fold, so you don't have to have more than two kosher witnesses. Sorry, I spilled ink on myself today. So you don't have to have... I got rid of that pen. I had this open rollerball. Oh, yeah, it's right, ruined two shirts of mine this week. Yeah. An open rollerball, and you leave it open. It's start. Right. So, but I got rid of the rollerball. Now I only have a closed fountain pen and a ball pen. So forget it. No more rollerballs for me. So in any event, so the... So the bottom line is that you need to have there. You can have a whole bunch of edim or kroivim and psulim, but you must fill up the folds, and here too you must fill up the document. So therefore, that's not. You need to have only two edim kshirim, and they can be distant as long as there's no space, open space between them and the document. Actually, open space again is a psul. It's a whole discussion about Basra, how much open space is big deshesh on the topic, but not for now. Says Gemara Kutim Mishum Mahim Psulim. Now, getting back to the concept of Kutim. Now, this is actually pretty fascinating Gemara, because Yerushalmi has a much more liberal approach to Kutim than the Bavli does. Kutim Mishuma, normally, you know, the Bavli, standard Bavli is once they thought they were Balagarim, and then afterwards they found out that they were only Megayer because they're afraid of the lions, and it was only, and in secret they kept on worshipping their Avodah Zarah, so therefore they reverted to the status of complete and total Goyim, right? The Yerushalmi is much more liberal on that. The Yerushalmi says that Kutim Mishumayim Tzulim Armai Be'elchim Mishum Gere Arayas. It's they were gearing because of the lions. So far, it's like the Bavli, but the kasha, it's difficult. Ilu misha lo nizgar l'shem shamayim. If somebody was not megar for the sake of heaven, v'chazem nizgar l'shem shamayim, and then he goes afterwards, he turns around and is megar l'shem shamayim. Right? Shemayim mekavim also, but he can't come on the rebound the second time and come and be megayer. So here, the question, you never find this question in the Bavli. The assumption is that, yes, it's true, originally their kavanas were not proper, but later on, they were megayer, l'shem shemayim. So why don't you count their second gayers, which was for the sake of heaven? Okay? They were megayer a second time, so the Ushami asked. Or I shouldn't say they were megayer for sure. Let's accept them a second time, because obviously they want to keep Torah mitzvahs. Therefore, why don't we accept them? So says the Gemara, I'll tell you why we don't accept them, right? Rabbi Yom Shem Lezer said, the reason why we don't accept them is because Lemaisa, fascinating, smart, Mishum Nochriv Eved Abba Bas Yisrael, so when you have a goy or a slave who has relations with a regular Jewish girl, Havlad Mamzer, the kid is a Mamzer. Now, therefore, the way they looked at it, they said, from the first conversion, not all the Kutim were Geirei Arayis. Not all of them were converted because of lions. Some of them were converted legitimately, right? So some of them are Goyim, and some of them are Jews. And this Gemara is going like the Shita, which holds that if you have a Goy who has relations with a Jewish woman and they have a kid, the kid is a mamzer. We don't pass them that way, but there is a prevalent shita and shas. So therefore, they weren't megayer them a second time around because they were afraid that they'll accept then mamzerim. That if they were all be goyim, it wouldn't be a problem. But this way, there's some of them who are not goyim, who are mamzerim, and then that would mess up the yichus and klal Yisrael. This actually was a modern day issue. They had the same issue with the Bnei Israel, which came from India, and the Ethiopian Jews, because again, if you're older, they're Jewish. And they messed up over the years in marital law, so then some of the kids will be mamzerim, which much better off if you assume that they're goyim, because by goyim, you know, they convert. Okay, they can't marry kohanim, but at least they're not posel l'kol. We don't know. It's misafik that perhaps they're messed up, right? Because they didn't have proper marriage and divorce ceremonies. So says the Gemara, says more still. Varm Rabbi Akiva, didn't Rabbi Akiva say, Geirate said they came, that the Kutim were valid Geirim. So if that's the case, it means that none of them were Goyim. They all were originally Geirate said, to the best of my recollection, there's no such Shita in the Bavli. Attributed to Rabbi Akiva, that they're originally Geirate Tzedek. But I might be wrong. Rabbi Akiva says originally Geirate Tzedek, and since it's originally Geirate Tzedek, so there's no problem. So accept them the second time around. There's no Mamzeris issue. Says more, there still is mamzer shishu. Al shame shehem miyami misarusos, because they do yibum to women whose husbands died out of betrothal. Umotzinas and asulas. But if a woman died, don't ask me why they had such a minhag. But they had a minhag that if a woman dies after betrothal, after erusin not nisuin, they do yibum. But if a woman died after nisuin, the kutim had a minhag. They don't do yibum in such a case. So they're matir vamalashuk. What? I'm sorry, if a man died, if her husband died, that's what I meant to say, right? So, says Gemara, wait a minute. So what? For Rabbanan Armin, ain't mamzer v'yavama. We paskin, if yavama is mizaneh, since the prohibition is only alive. So the kid is not a mamzer, so let's accept it. Now, the truth is, the Yerushalmi's question is a little bit difficult, because Yerushalmi just quoted Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva holds, yesh mamzer v'chayav ilavik. But I seem to, again, I didn't look this up, but I seem to have a dim recollection, if Rabbi Akiva agrees by yavama, perhaps. Do you recall such a thing, or am I making that up? I make it up. Okay, so therefore, it's a question stance. I don't know why the Gemara is asking this question according to Rabbi Kiva, because Rabbi Kiva could say, yes, it's true that Gary Tzedek, but they're Mamzeris issues, so therefore we separate them for the rest of Am Yisrael. So it says, Gemara, you know what? The truth is that the issue is not Mamzeris. There is no issue of Mamzeris. And the truth is they should be full Jews. So why taka don't we accept gittin which are signed by gittin by kutim? So I'll shame Tanakama doesn't accept it. Why is Tanakama accept a get which has two kutim on it? Because I'll shame she'ain bekin bedikduke gittin, because they don't know the precise halachas of gittin. Now if you have 1 8 kuti, Tanakama said it's okay. Because the Yisrael then testifies that the kuti you signed with him signed kedin, right? That's what we left off with yesterday. But if you have 2 edim kutim, you can't trust them because they don't know how to write kedin properly. Okay? Now, Haran Gamliel machshir b'kitein, but Rabbi Gamliel is machshir, they're getting all together, right? So obviously Rabbi Gamliel doesn't hold that way. Rabbi Gamliel must hold that they're getting a proper because they are Jewish and because they know Dikduke Gittin, and therefore even again signed with two kutim he had said in the Mishnah sufficient. Now it's a little bit out of order. Now we're going back to the issue of the kutim zichus in and of itself.
If Rabbi Akiva says they're Gary Tzedek,
yeah.
Then if they're Gary Tzedek, wouldn't they know the Dikduke?
No. Do you know the halachos of Gittin? No, I don't either. I'm a born Jew, but I don't know the halachos of Gittin. The fact that you're a born Jew doesn't mean you necessarily know the halachas, right? So that's therefore it's not necessarily right. So says more around Gamliel. So Rabbi Yaakov Yishem Rabbi Yaakov said, "Al shem shisarva v'em kani bamos." This is going back a little bit. In other words, what's the chashash? Why we didn't accept kutim? Why don't we accept kutim? Because they hired kohanim for their altars, which were obviously not kosher kohanim, which were I assume goyim. So it says, now here quotes a pasuk, but that's a pasuk from Malachim Aleph. It's the wrong pasuk. It's a pasuk by Yeravam. So instead the Shai Torah brings down the other pasuk, which is a proper pasuk, which is by Kutim, which says Vayasu lem miktsosom kohani bamos. It's basically, it's almost the same pasuk, but the idea is that Amar Rabbi Ila mina kaitim shem ba'am. Seems like they actually were not goyim. Seems like they were Jews, but the kohanim themselves were mamzerish or kohanim, or kohanim of questionable lineage. And since those became the kohanim, so therefore they had all sorts of questionable lineage, and that's why we didn't accept them back into Klal Yisrael. Okay? Again, because the questionable lineage of those kohanim which were involved with them. So that would actually answer the Gemara's question from before. The Gemara asked the question from before was, hi, Yibum, a psul Yibum doesn't create mamzerus. Yeah, it's true, they got their psul from elsewhere. What was their psul from elsewhere? That the kohanim which got mixed them were questionable kohanim. Okay, that's the end of the sugya about kutim. As I said, the Yerushalmi actually seems to that even the maskana kutim are really mostly Jewish. It's just that the question of mamzerus about them, not that they're actually goyim, which is very different than the Bavlis. I don't know if that'll be borne out throughout the Yerushalmi, but that's what it seems here.
Do the kutim still exist?
Absolutely, they still exist.
That's
now.
Why they were so liberal. They had to live with them. building in Eretz Yisrael. Probably there were no people.
Okay, maybe. I don't know if that's why, but... okay. Yeah, but could be they weren't had enough close to context, so therefore they had a different attitude. And all these things are possible. Okay, now starts a new issue. But it's still continuous, but it's kind of new. It's off on a tangent. It said in our Mishnah that if you have a shtar which comes up in a non-Jewish courts, use the document is good. Now, of course, not a get. But any document which is a Choshe Mishpat type document, which is signed and sealed in a non-Jewish court of justice, we assume it's a reasonable proof evidence. Okay? So, why is that? Rabbi Yahu Ko Yotze Bar Kiyim. When there's a document which comes out in the Erkoyim, which are their courts, so then if it was not proper, so people would know. In other words, there's public publicity as to what the good documents are and what the bad documents are. Now, that's the Gemara, getting back to the Kutim issue. Me'ata afilu shtem Kutim. Now, here, it's best, I'm going to throw in a gear of the Shai Torah Eretz Yisrael. And the Korban A, they really changed the gears to two, but the truth is they don't change it precisely the way I'm going to change it now. But the idea is the same. So they throw in here the line, Afilu b'gite noshim shichurei avodim. Why don't we trust Kutim by Gitim and by Gitim for women and the releases for slaves? If in a court there's a call to how the document was written, whether it's written properly or not, the Kutim also have courts. And we just got through saying that they're Jewish. So let's trust a get written in a Kutisha court, right? Because it's got the kol, and it has also proper edim, right? Because they are Jewish, so why don't we trust their getin? So again, the Gemara says, the same answer you've said before. Yes, we trust them that they wrote it by their standards properly. But by their standards, not by our standards. They don't know to write it properly. Right? Things like we dash from a pasuk because of law, lishma, right? That's written for the purpose of the woman. They don't dash, they don't have Torah Shebaal Peh, the Kutim. So therefore, it's possible that's just one example of a dikduk and gittin which they might not be familiar with, right? So says Marvar Rabbi Shimon Machshir b'Gitayin. I don't understand how side does Rabbi Shimon say they're gittin or kosher? Rabbi Shimon said in our Mishnah that a get of a kuti. I think it was actually Rabbi Gamliel. Yeah, it was Rabbi Gamliel. Probably it has to be corrected, or I didn't correct it, but I think it's Rabbi Get, it should be Rabbi Gamliel. Anyway, whoever it was, sometime. Rabbi Shem Machshi B'Gitayim, so how does he Machshi if they're not Bucky? So interesting, answer here. Rabbi Shem Mazir said, ask Rabbi Shem Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Shem goes like Rabbi Lezer. Now it's the first time Rabbi Lezer appears in the Ushalmi. Rabbi Lezer is famous in the Bavli for holding Eidei Mesira Karti. That the document, the witnesses on the get are not the witnesses of the signature, but the witnesses of the delivery, right? That's Rabbi Lezer's famous shita. So Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Lezer. Kamad Rabbi Lezer, my afu pisha ain't a love k'edim kosher. Even though Rabbi Lezer holds, just like Rabbi Lezer holds, you don't need witnesses on the get. The witnesses are the witnesses which view the Mesira, the giving of the get from the husband to the wife. So too, Ken Rabbi Shimon Omer, Alpha P, Shein Eidim, Allah of Eidim Kosher. Even though there are Kuti witnesses on it, we just ignore the Kuti witnesses. Who become our witnesses? Not the Eidim Chasima, but rather the Eidim Mesira. Now it's a little bit difficult because still, but what about the fact that it might not have been written Lishma? So I guess we rely on the Eidei Mesira to have clarified before they saw the document given over that the document was written by the Kutim Lishma. So it's not that we rely on the Kuti witnesses. We can't because they don't know Dikduke Gittin. We rely on two Eidei Mesira who then vouch for us that the get was written properly with the proper Dikdukim. Okay? Says the Gemara, Me'atu, if that's the case, we're not relying on the Eidim who are signed in it. Who cares what's done in a court or not? Me'atu, feel nasa be'yir be'edyot. Right? Well, why do you have to have it done in a court? Let it be done just by commoners. Have a tzurkah, so you must come on. La'udah ma'a Rabbi Yaakov Rach Barach, that which Rabbi Yaakov Rach said, kol yoytzei barakoyim. There's a kol which goes out in the Bati Din. Now, it seems here, this is kind of a non sequitur. What do you mean, call? Why do we need the call for? So it seems to me, this is just my hunch, and it's not clear to me exactly how the Mefarshim, or rather I should say, wasn't satisfied with what they said, but it seems to me that we're going back to when we ask the question, Me'ato afil nase behedyot, it's not going back on Gittin. It's asking on the on regular documents, Shitrei Mamon. It said our mission, we only trust Shitrei Mamon rendered in a non-Jewish court, not Shitrei Mamon rendered by two non-Jews who are commoners. Why? If anyway our mission is going like depending on the Eidim Mesira Karti, need Eidim Mesira, so who cares where it was written, right? Let's just have it written by two commoners.
Well, if it wasn't in a court, maybe they cheated.
What do you mean they cheated? But the Eidim Mesira will clarify. The Eidim Mesira are Jews. So we'll clarify with the Eidim Mesira whether they cheated or not. They'll figure it out. They'll find out. They'll make an investigation before they witness the Mesira. So that the Gemara says, Rabbi Yaakov Rachel says, Kol Yetzir Berkayim, what he means to say, again, this is where I think the pshat is, when it comes out of a non-Jewish court, we even rely on non-Jewish Eidim Mesira. In other words, we're not talking about a get here, right? You don't need Jewish witnesses necessarily. You need to have evidence. You don't need Eidim Kiyum, Eidim to make the valid Eidim get. You need Eidim to make sure that this evidence is legitimate evidence. So that would work by Eidim Mesira who are non-Jews as long as it was certified by a non-Jewish court.
I think the okay? Quote
Eidim
implies that.
He does imply it?
He doesn't say it explicitly, but I didn't really imply it.
Okay, it could be that it's, you know, could be I was inspired by Korban Eidim, I don't remember. Anyway. Now we have a maisa like this, in fact. Shtar Yotze Beit Shan, there was a shtar which came out of Beit Shan. And Beit Shan was a non-Jewish city in the old days. So it was not part of Eretz Yisrael in the time of Second Beit HaMikdash. Vis-a-vis Shemitah, and I think that's true with Manazeh as well, that's not considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis Shemitah. And it was inhabited by Romans. So the shtar came out of Beit Shan, you ate of Eide Goyim, and the witnesses were Eide Goyim, not just Jews who signed with Goyish. Their names were Ramesh Goyim. Rabbi Yosef and Spal and Rabbi Yochanan and Sherry Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan said that, who said that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish had a machlokas. Chadamar Apostle once said the document is puzzle. Chadamar Kosher once said the document is kosher. Rabbi Avo Mefarish, who said what? Rabbi Avo Mefarish, Rabbi Avo explained Rabbi Yochanan and Apostle. Rabbi Yochanan said the document was puzzle. Rish Lakish Omer Kosher. Rabbi Rish Lakish said the document is kosher. My time of the Rish Lakish. Why did Rish Lakish say it's kosher? In order not to cause Jews any loss. Says Mar, what do you mean not to cause Jews loss? I know the thing in the bottom line, but Mar asks, wait a minute. The document obviously concerns litigation between two Jews. No matter what, one Jew's going to lose. So what do you mean, Shlola Hafsid Mammon Yisrael? Of course, some Jews going to lose. If you validate the document, Reuven's going to lose. If you don't validate the document, Shimon's going to lose. Some way, some Jews gonna lose. So everyone, you mean Shlulah? It can't be Shlulah. I've seen Mammon Yisrael, right? Or Pilu delays Mafsid Ladain. If you don't cause this guy to lose, Mafsid Ladain, the other guy's gonna lose. So it says, Barry, I heard a honk. I'm sure. Rabbi said, El Kidei Shlo Lino Lasadelis. It's in order not to lock the door. Leave Nebni Adam in front of people. Shalmochem Mavakish Livos, who ain't a motzin. The moral is a person going to look to borrow money in a city where there are no Jews to sign documents, and he won't be able to borrow money because people will say, I can't, my later base is not going to accept our document. So therefore, we allowed, it's a big chiddush, we allow non Jewish witnesses in order to allow normal commerce between Jews, even cities which are primarily non Jewish. So it comes out of tremendous chiddush, but it comes out of chiddush that we rely on Eide Akum in order to be able to conduct normal commerce. And I want to point out the Abudi Yerushalayim here has a long discussion at the bottom, a very important one. The Chora Rabbi Yochanan, who passes this document, he's arguing our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah said the shtar which comes out in their kosher goyim is a valid document, right? So what's how can Rabbi Yochanan say no? L'chor, our Mishnah sustains Rish Lakish. Our Mishnah says that this document is kosher, right? Even the Eidim are goyim. This is our Mishnah. So what is this? So Korban Eidim, Shuriyah Korban asks that question. So Rabbi Yerushalayim has a long discussion of this, and he says that no, it could be our Mishnah is only talking about documents of sales. Sales titles are valid when they come out of non-Jewish courts. But loans, bills on documents of loan, are not necessarily valid. Sales documents are valid, but not necessarily loans. So Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish is Chiddush, which is, you know, Shloli Nodels Lifnei Lovin, right, is that even on the bills of loan, it's legitimate. And on that, Rabbi Yochanan argues, he says, no, Shitrei Akna, things after with sales, that I accept because that the Mishnah says. But Shitrei Avah, not. And Lamaisa, a lot of the place communities down here do paskin that you don't rely on Eidei Akum except by Shitrei Akna, not by Shitrei Avah. Okay? Only by sales, not by loans. I guess because sales, you know, it's more real to the guy, but by loans, we don't accept their word for it. Okay? Which would be like in line with Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Halachai. If you say, give this get to my wife and this release to my slave, if he wants to renege before they're given over, he can renege. Leave Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim say you can only renege by Gitei Noshim, but not by releases of slaves. Why? Person gets a schus. Something which is advantageous to him, even if he's not present to acquire it. I mean, through a third party. In other words, if I would say to you here, being zoicha in this pen for somebody who's not here, let's say Pliny Amoni, right? So you, when you take this pen, it already belongs to Pliny Amoni. I can't renege. It's not true about a get, right? If I gave a get and said be zoicha for my wife, it wouldn't be work. But by a pen and by a shikur for an eved, it does work, right? Because it's a schus for the eved to go free. So therefore, you act on behalf of the eved or on behalf of the individual to whom I'm being mocked into the pen, and they're coin of that pen or that eved, the coin of the pen or the eved gets his release. So that's zochin l'am shloa fonav. I can be mezakia. I can bestow upon somebody something which is a benefit to him, even if he's not present through a third party, and however to do something which is detrimental to him, he needs to be present, and a get is detrimental to a woman. Why is a get detrimental to a woman? Because she loses her support, and she also loses, if she's a Kohen, she becomes possible for Kohanim. So it's detrimental to a woman to get divorced. Okay? So then the Gemara is going to actually discuss if that's in fact the reason, since we'll see that when we get there. And the Gemara says, and the Gemara explains why it's a schus for Eved to go free and not a schus for a woman to leave her marriage, because Shim Yirtushlo Zunasavdo Rashai, and Eved has no advantage from being a slave. And Eved can't demand Mizonos, he can't demand support, his master can serve him, can starve him. As opposed to if he doesn't want to support his slave or his wife, he's not allowed. He can't opt out of that. And furthermore, Rabbi Meir asked back. Varmar Lenser, he said to them, "Varei places happening with truma." One second, the eved loses his truma. So that should be a choiv for the eved, that he loses his truma if he's the slave of a kohen, of course. Then he loses his right to eat truma. So that should be a reason why there shouldn't be a schutz for him, right? So says the Gemara, just like Shem Shu Paisa's Ishtar, just like he bows to his wife. Amrulo, so they said back to him, no, mibnei shu kinyono, it's because he's owned. And the Gemara is going to explain what exactly that means, okay? What exactly that distinction is meant to connote. Homer, somebody says, "Ten get to Elishi." Somebody says, "Give this get to my wife." Ushtar shichru zelavdi, and this bill of release to my slave. Umeis, and he died. Lo yinosdu lacharmi, so that they cannot be given after death. Only during the lifetime of the person who's bestowing the freedom. Tnu monalish ploni umeis. However, he said, "Give $100 to so and so," and that guy died. So that's similar, of course, to a case of Shchimera, right? Actually, it's not similar. It is a case of Shchimera, right? Because since he says, the Shchimera says give, that's as if he made the Kenyan.
So why can't he give the get to a get?
It's not as close for the wife to get a get.
So she's a widow.
She'd rather be the oh no, well not talking about somebody's dying. In which case, case of the guy's dying? Okay, then the Gemara is going to ask a similar question. Says Makoasar at Omer, all over Shas you say Tain is Koholich. Now what does Tain Koholich mean? It means that if I said you give this pen to Pliny Amoini, that means you're not being Zoicha for him. It should mean you're not that you're being Zoicha for him, but rather that I'm making you a shliach to take it to him. But here we're saying when it says Tain Shtar Shikro Zel Avdi, I'm really saying be Zoicha for it, not just give it to him as an emissary, but acquire it on his behalf. Why the distinction here all of a sudden? Right? No, but I'm appointing him the shliach. He's not appointing the shliach. The Eved's not around to appoint him a shliach. He should be my shliach.
He's your shliach.
So how can he be makayna for somebody else if he's my shliach? How can he make a kinyan for somebody else if he's my shliach? He's the makne shliach, not the kinyan shliach. So that's why I need the principle of Schia, that Zachin Lam Shlofanov. Rabbi said the principle of Zachin Lam Shlofanov teaches us that even without the mechanism of Shlichus, you can become a Shliach for another person for something which is beneficial for him. Okay? But that's only if I, in turn, acquiesce to that. Whereas if I say, yes, I'm recognizing you as being Zaych on his behalf. Because after all, he's not here to appoint you. You're self appointed. I have to agree to that transaction. Right? So therefore, in this case, when he says Tain, it should be like Holach, with there's no agreement. So there's more change of gears in our Mishnah. Kini Masnisa. This is the way to read our Mishnah. Zakei get Zelishti. Acquire this get for my wife. Zakei shtar zeshichur zelavi. Acquire the shtar for my slave. Says more, and that's obviously in the Mishnah. Lashon Masnisa Amrakin. The language of the Mishnah indicates this to be true because it says the fish is zonkin lo lo the mishlova fonam. One merit is acquired by an individual even if he's not around. Vein chavin lo the mishlova fonam. You cannot do something which is harmful to an individual unless he's around to acquiesce. Okay, now going getting back to our Mishnah, remeremer chavu bein lezeh bein lezeh. It's detrimental both to the slave and to the. And to the woman. Well, in the Bavli it says, you know, the avda befkera nichole, an eved wants to become an eved and stay an eved because it's an easy and free life. As opposed to being Jew, there are plenty of mitzvahs which are big pain. Okay? So in any event, it's a choiva to both. So Rabban Aram Schusel Eved, it's an absolute merit to be a Jew. The choiva Lisha, it's detrimental to be divorced. Rabbi Chia Barba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Chia Barba said to Rabbi Yochanan, I'm sorry, Chia Barba Amar Rabbi Yochanan boy, Chia Barba said to Rabbi Yochanan, asked a question. How got some call? Let's analyze this a minute. Let's literally imagine. She Abdul Shul Katzin, he was the slave of a nobleman, right? A Katzin in modern Hebrew means an officer, but same idea. In that case, even Rabbanan should agree. That's detrimental for the Eved to be free. Why? Because it's better to be the slave of a nobleman. Obviously, it's not modern sentiment, but in the old days, better to be a slave to a nobleman than a free, you know, poor person, poor free commoner.
Now, this is an unusual question because typically when you look at explicit call, you look at the categories. You don't look at the individual per se. You look at, generally speaking, the woman, the Eved. You don't look at it as
right. If I recall correctly, this is not in the Bavli, this discussion. But actually, this discussion will be very, very fundamental in the Yerushalmi, as you'll see in a minute. Chevraya, Rabbi Yochanan, the Chevraya said, Rabbi Yochanan asked the following question. What if she was the wife of a person who has leprosy? In that case, it's a schus for the woman to go free, right? So actually, in that case, we should say, even by a wife. So it says, well, you know what? Let's chuck out the whole lumbus of the Mishnah. It's an amazing thing that Gemara is about to do. Gemara says, you know what the real lumbus in our Mishnah should be? Leis l'cha elakado. This is the real rationale. Ilu. Now the two words in this Mishnah, the Mashbiach, two words in this line, the Mashbiach changes, and he gives a beautiful pshat based on the words. everybody else has difficulties with this line here. He changes it, Leisach el kado, ilu ha-meshachur el-savto. If somebody not ha-moichur, not from yourself, but if somebody releases a slave, shalom he died 2010. Sheme eno meshuchur, is he not freed? Do you need your evident intent to get free? No, right? However, v'amagarish is isto shalom he died. If you divorce your wife, now, bear in mind, it's between das and rotzom. You don't need a woman's will to get divorced. You divorce her against the will. But she has to know that she's getting divorced. If you can't deliver her something which a document and say, here's a, I don't remember exactly what languages do work and what languages don't work. But if you give your wife a get and you say, here's your, bill of sale, and she doesn't think it's a get, so then it's not divorced. Not divorced. She has to be aware that she's being divorced. She doesn't have to acquiesce to the divorce, but she has to be aware of that. Well, if she doesn't take it also, she's not divorced. So she has to know she's getting a divorce, and she has to agree to accept it. What?
She won't accept.
Right. You could shove it into her hand, but you're right. If she makes a clenched fist, and you go like this, and she doesn't take it, she's not divorced. Right? So she needs we can compel her, we can open her fist and then put it on again and clasp it again. But she has to have das if she gets getting a get. Right? So Magarshis, so Shalom Idaito, Shema Gureshisi, do you think she's divorced? She's not divorced, right? So therefore, it's very partial now.
She's going to find out that
doesn't matter. That's what we'll discuss later in the Masechta. What if she's going to find out afterwards? Okay, but that's right now, the Gemara is not concerned with that. The bottom line here in our Mishnah is now it's a very beautiful distinction, and it's not based at all on Zochin or not Zochin. Right? Well, it is indirectly, but by an Eved, you don't need his Das to be Meshachar him. So you give it to third party, say, here, you be Zochin for the Eved. I'm the master. I'm in charge also of releasing him. I don't need his Das to release him. So therefore, you can be Zochin for him. But by a get, you need the das of the woman to accept the get. To appoint somebody as her designated representative to accept the get, that doesn't work, whether it's a schus for her or not, even if it's her wife, her husband is the biggest louse schmendrick in the world. But nevertheless, Lamaisa, she needs to know she's getting a get in order for the get to work. And in this case, she doesn't know she's getting a get. So therefore, it's not about get. Until she knows and appoints the shliach. Okay? It's a beautiful distinction. I don't remember if this is in the Bavli or not, but it's a beautiful distinction what the Yerushalmi has. Okay? Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Abi Rabbi, now, Mivneshu Kinyon, I'm sorry. This is actually going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that Eved, it's not a choiva, the fact that he loses his truma, because it's just because he was an acquisition. So what does that mean? I'm Rabbi Abi, Rabbi Abi said, Kinyono. The truth is, by a get, when you give your wife a get, the get itself passes her from truma. The get itself passes her lakuna and makes her passel the truma. By an eved, it's only a byproduct. What? Always. But no, but she's a bas yisrael. Yeah, she can't marry a kohen again. That's also so the chayva. Whatever chayva comes, whether it's that she can't do truma because she was married to a kohen, now she's not. Or whether she can't marry a kohen because she was because she's divorced, that the get itself creates that deficit. But by the shtar given to a an eved to release him, the shtar doesn't create the deficit. Right. It's the fact that he's not only the kinyan, so it's only a byproduct. So it's interesting the Yushami's distinction, even in the Mishnah's own terms, the schus or choiva are dependent on what the deed itself does, the transaction itself does, not on any byproduct or fringe effect of the transaction. So therefore, a get itself passes a woman from truma, or a get itself passes her to marry a kohen. But by an eved, it's not the release which passes him from being an eved, it's the fact that he's no longer owned by a kohen. So that's not considered to be a choiva, right? Haimer tavi avdi. Now, if somebody says, tavi my slave, asisi ben choirin. Now, that's interesting language. The Mepharshim do pick up on a little bit. Tavi was the Eved of Rav Gamliel, and he was a very kosher Eved, right? And Rav Gamliel was constantly looking for ways to release him, because he was such a kosher guy. Ultimately, he found a way. I forget what it was exactly. But a guy says, I want to release my slave. And the Mashpiach brings down that every good slave in is called Tavi. And therefore, why is the Mishnah, why, well, in the Yerushalmi, every time it's a good slave is called Tavi, because Rav Gamliel's slave was the big tzaddik. So therefore, what the Gemara is trying to say is that normally it's us that's released a slave, right? Because it says, Olam Ben Tavodi, you gotta make them work. But here, since he was a good slave, so Mistama, there's a reason, legitimate reason to release him. Okay, that's what I'm stressing. You're releasing, you're a good slave. So Mistama, you have a good reason. You know, one of the reasons given is if you need him for a minion, right, he's the tenth man, so you can release him for that purpose. But in any event, so you say, I want to make Tavi my slave Ben Chorin. That's the statement you make. Even though it says Osisi, it doesn't mean you actually made him. You're not, it's not a question of Nemanus, but rather, it's a question of announcing, right? So Osani Ben Oso Ben Chorin, I'd say this language, I'm making him Ben Chorin, Hareza Ben Chorin, or language of he is a Ben Chorin, Zocha. If you announce this to somebody, this is authorization for that person to go and write a document of release. And he has the right to do so immediately. Okay? It seems you can't renege on that. Rabbi Uni Ever said, no, not quite. Ubavad Bishtar. It's only if you wrote that in a document and gave it to somebody. Because then it's binding. Because that document, in essence, becomes the release. I'm not sure if it actually becomes released or it binds you to release him. And the fact you, I think it's more the latter. It's not the release. But it means this, you giving this document over, it says, I want to release my slave to a third party. Now that party has acquired the right to a shichur from you, and now you are compelled to release your slave as a result. Okay? That, of holding on to the shtar. Okay? Yasa ben Chorin, what if you said this language? Tavi, my slave, should be made a ben Chorin. Not say, I want to make him, or I will make him, but it's proper to make a ben Chorin. Document of release to my slave, umes. And the person dies. Rabbi Omer lo zocha. Rabbi says he was not zocha. The Chachomer mim zocha. And Chachomer says he was zocha. Okay, so again, he said, give this document of release to my slave, and then the master dies. So Rabbi says, Rabbi says, lo zocha, right? The Shai didn't reach anybody's hands. Chachomer said it was zocha. Oh, so see, even Chachomer that says zocha, it's not really that he was zocha, but rather koyfines a yarshim l'kayim divrei ames. We ethically require the yarshim to fulfill their dead father's words, because actually, if you just said snu shtar and the shtar hasn't been handed over yet, so there's no valid legal, you know, requirement to make it do it, but it's the proper ethical thing to do. Right, so the Yorshim have to release him, that's what we're saying. That's what it says. We compel the Yorshim to fulfill the words of their dead father. Amrei B'zir B'zir said, B'stam Chalukim. This is only Machlokis where he said it generically. And what does that mean? Let's explain. Manakim, what are you talking about? Im Boimer Shicharu. If he said, release it, it was a command. So Af Rebbe Modeh. Rebbe concedes that by Shchiv Merah, if he says release him, that's sufficient, he must be released. If he says, however, should not release him, but rather write him a document and give him the document, af rabbanim modim. Rabbanim also agree that it doesn't work after death, because ein shtar lachar misa. He made a contingent on a shtar, and there's no shtar after death. Right? So then you don't even compel the heirs to write the release. When is there machlokas? Elakenukah, and machlokas boemer tznu, where he said generically tznu. He didn't say kisvu tnu. He didn't say shichru. He didn't say write and give. He didn't say release, but he said just give. Rabbi Omer tnu koimer kisvu tnu. Somebody says give. It's as if he says write and give, and that only would take effect after death, and there's no release after death. Rabbanan say tnu koimer shachru. When you say give, it's as if you say release, and that does not require a document, and therefore it works even, he didn't make a digital document, and therefore it works during his lifetime. Okay? Now, Lamaisa, an Eved does need to get Shichur. Let's make that clear. You always need a document. But there's a concept which I don't remember, it's later in the, I don't know if it's in the Shalom, but it is in the Bavli, in Kiddushin, I don't remember if it's a Gittin too. Somebody who's released, except he's Mu'ukov, get Shichur. where the get shichur just becomes a formality. The release has actually occurred choshen mishpat wise, as just Evan Ezer wise, to allow him to marry a Jewish woman. So you need to get shichur just as icing on the cake. So that would actually be parallel in this case. If you said shachru, that in of itself would be the release, and he would just be a ma'ukov get shichur. If you said kisvu tnu, then you only intended to release via the document. The question is, when it said tnu, is that like shichru? In other words, the primary release is now the get document just becomes a formality, or is the primary release the document itself, and that would be the machlokas. Okay. Similarly, it is a related case, but it is actually a very fascinating case, and I do not remember this from the Bavli at all. And I'm pretty convinced it's not there. Sometimes I say that's hyperbole, but in this case, I really believe it's true. Somebody says, "Yinosnu kol nechasa leploini." I say, I want to give all of my property to so and so, to Aaron, and Hareu Cohen, and Aaron is a Cohen. Vayusham avodim, and they're slaves in the property. So once they belong to Aaron, they can eat truma, right? Even though Aaron says it's impossible to accept them, they can eat truma. Aaron said it's impossible, but it's still the avodim can eat truma. It's an amazing concept. What? Impossible means he refuses to accept the gift. So why? Rav Shingo Mio says, No. Once he said it's impossible, the heirs of the dying guy, they got them. And the dying guy who gave this as a gift to Aaron, he was not a Kohen. So therefore they can't eat truma. So what are we talking about? What's the machlok? So again, Rabbi Zira qualifies for us. Rabbi Zira b'stam chalukim. They argue when it's a generic and unclear case. Manakim, what are we talking about? If originally Aaron accepted the deal, it should be Rabban Shimon Gamliel, not Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Shimon Gamliel made it. Then in that case, now Avodim can eat truma. They belong now to the Aaron Cohen. In Bishaloki v'lo b'shar v'shona. If, however, the Aaron refused it from the gift go, af Rabbanan modu, even Rabbanan agree. El Kenachim, what are you talking about? Bistam. Bistam means, now what does Bistam mean here? He was silent to begin with, and then when we spoke, he said EFSHI. But there was a moment of, I don't know, one moment, but you know, there was some time which he was silent. So now he wants to say, when I said EFSHI, it's retroactive. Rabbi Omer Imer says, Leitz Barnosh Omer EFSHI, a person does not say EFSHI, except. Except that he originally said, in his mind, because he never said anything verbally, acquiesced, and now he's saying, you know what, it's impossible. The language of it's impossible means that at first he thought yes, and then he considered it, and he rejected it. It's an amazing concept. That's what the language EFSHI means. If he said, if he would have been silent for him, that's a glow, no, instead of EFSHI, it's impossible, it would have had a different connotation. But that's the language of EFSHI. It means he's considered, he originally wanted to do it, and then he said, can't do it because it's impossible. That's how Rebbe learns it. Rabbi Shin Gamliel Omer, Mikamet Shomer EFSHI, once he says it's impossible, Chil Sova Chilos, so that goes back to the beginning and indicates what his intent was to begin with, and therefore the Avodim cannot eat Truma. Okay, now, so similar cases still. Somebody says, "Tain monez elpoin sheni chayev lo." Give so and so $100 that I owe him. Holech monez elpoin, take this $100 to so and so, but because on sheish lo biyad, because I owe it him, he gave it to me for safekeeping. Imrot al achzir lo yachzir. Once I give it to the guy who's zocher, the agent, he can't give it back to me. Once he took it, under these conditions. He can't give it back. It's too late. Okay? He already accepted the shlichus on behalf of the individual for whom he's getting it, and therefore he can't renege. It's a shlichus. Yeah. It's a shlichus, because here it's not necessarily mezakeh, because after we're talking about, let's say, a pikadon, right? Pikadon already belongs to that individual. But the point there, pikadon, $100 pikadon, it already belongs the whole time to the guy to whom he's sending it back now. So this guy is not literally acquiring it for him, but by, he's the shliach. But he can't renege on the shliach. So there's a concept of being zoiche the shliach, right? Here, the guy who's not present, plainly amoini, to I'm returning this object via this person who agreed to be a shliach, he was already zoiche not just in the object, but in the shlichus itself. And therefore, the shliach can't renege on the deal. Okay, it's a big chiddush, but that's what it says here. Not making it up. And again, I don't think this is in the Bavli. This I don't think. I'm not sure. But anyway, I don't think so. V'chayv ishbarach yuso, and the shliach, now he might be a loser, but he's chayv and achrayis, he's responsible for the object. Ajikabo so yisr shalom, until that guy gets back that which he's supposed to get back. Rabbi Levi said, hamatona, even a gift, kechoyv, is like a loan in this case. For if I said, Tain monazel ploini, if I said, give this as a gift to ploini amoini. Hoylach monazel ploini, give this to bring this to monazel ploini, and it's a gift. Tain shtar zem matonel ploini, give this document which certifies gift to ploini. Hoylach shtar zem matonel ploini, bring it to him. Im rotzel hafsi lo yafsir, the shliach must not, cannot give it back. The ploini is zoich in the shlichas. He is zoich that this shliach works in his behalf, and that shliach cannot renege on the deal until he completes the shilchus he undertook about himself.
Yeah. Meaning the owner of the thing is mizake the shliach?
The owner of the thing is mizake shlichus. But it takes two to tango in this case. The shaliach has to agree to that. Now he's become the shaliach without, it's not the owner who's been mizake the shlichus. It's the shliach who's been mizake himself. The shliach has pledged himself subservient as a shliach for the individual ploini, even though ploini is not here. So therefore, once he's acquired that shlichus, he can't renege on the deal. Even though ploini doesn't know about the shlichus, it's a gift. Ploini has no idea that this is going on. But in him itself, the fact that I accept the shlichus without even telling him, that shlichus now is also a shchus for ploini, and I can't renege on that deal. Okay? So it says Gemara, v'halach mitzol shemes. What if you went and found that Pliny is dead, right? Yachzir l'mishalech. Then you give it back to the mishalech. Now, this is assuming that he would, because then it never came through. Now, bear in mind, this is actually a raya. That's not zachin l'adam shlo shlo b'fonav. Because zachin l'adam shlo b'fonav, then what's the point at which the recipient acquires it? At the point where I gave it into your hand, right? And then if you went and found that guy dead, so then you would give it to who? To his heirs, right? To his heirs. But here it says, if you went and found that guy dead, you give it back to me, right? Why is that? It's because obviously what was he zoiche in? What was Pliny zoiche in? Only in your being a shaliach. He wasn't zoiche in the object itself. Makes a lot of sense, right? He acquired the rights in him that he's a shliach, but he didn't acquire the rights of the object. You don't like that?
Does it matter when the guy died?
What?
Was he dead already when the shliach?
No, he was only dead on arrival. He wasn't dead when the shliach accepted. Okay. No, that's so chiddush, right? Yeah. Even though he was alive at the time that I gave you the object to give to him, nevertheless, he's not zoiche in it then, because you're not a zoiche in this case, you're a shliach in this case. But the only chiddush is that you, once you were a mezake, your shlichus for ploini, you can't renege on your shlichus until you carry it out. Is it good? Okay. He says it's good. There's nothing to argue about. So it says more again, Ha'al shematzu shemeis yasim shlech, give it back to the mishalech. Imeis, if the mishalech is dead, you give it to the Yorshim, to the heirs. Now here's the opposite case. I forgot that it's the next case here. Zakem monel zel aploini, if you use the other Lashon, which is that I made him the Zoiche, and I didn't make him, it's not a Shliach, he's actually a Zoiche, right? In this case, Zakem monel zel aploini, Kaba monel zel aploini, Kaba is also a language accepted on his behalf. Zakem shtar zel aploini, to acquire the shtar for so and so, kabel shtar zem matzon ploini, same thing. Im rotzel achzir lo yachzir. Here also, of course, that I can't renege on the deal. But here, holach mitzol shemeis. If you went and found the dead, yitein liyoshim, then you give to his heirs. to the heirs of the guy who died, because then what's the point of acquisition? When I gave it to you, that was the point of acquisition, right? However, if at the time that I point to you age and Pliny was already dead, we just didn't know about it, then Yachsin Mishlech goes back, obviously, to the person who was designated the agency, because there was no way to fund the Zoycha. Shein Adam Zoycha B'Ksav L'Achar Misa. A person can't be Zoycha in a document after death. Now, so the question, why does it say Ein Adam Zoycha B'Ksav L'Achar Misa? Just say Ein Adam Zoycha L'Achar Misa. Doesn't matter if it's a document or not. So the Mashbiach, it's a little bit difficult. Pnei Moshe has that difficulty. The Mashbiach wants to give a nice answer. I think it's a nice answer. He says, even though we hold the Gemara Bava Metzia, I don't know if it's in the Yerushalmi, but it is in the Bavli, Eda b'chasum of zochim lo, that by documents, when you sign the document, it makes the document defective. But that's only if eventually the document will be delivered. Whereas it works retroactively from the time it was signed, if it was delivered. But in this case, where before delivery, the guy expired, the guy to whom it was intended died, then even though it was signed and sealed, kedosu kedin, it still doesn't take effect. When do we say it works retroactively in the time of the signature? Edom chasumah, the document, the witnesses, when they sign it, acquire it, only when it is ultimately delivered properly. Bino, we're going to be finished in 5 minutes. So what?
I thought we started...
Oh, you thought we started at 9:15? No, we started after Marv. Changed. Last night, Taco was Monday. I forgot to tell you that. Monday nights, I give a Kohelish shear in the middle. It's my fault. I apologize.
Okay.
But it's easy, Gemara time. You'll be able to do it on your own. Okay. Monday nights, I do after Kohelish shear, but the rest of the week, during the summer, I do it after Marv is over here,
which is
it's about 8:45. Okay. So... No, it's not that we start at 9:15 or finishing. We've started around 10 to 9 or so. Okay, so it says the Gemara. To Mishomer Monazel Puri. Well, in the meantime, we're on the bottom of page 16, Chesam Abayis, about 8 lines to the bottom. Mishomer Monazel Puri. Somebody said this money gift to so and so. Tol Monazel Puri. Well, actually, I didn't say gift. I take that back. Mishomer just said Monazel Puri. This money to so and so. Tell Monazel Ploni, take this money to so and so, right? Yay, Monazel Ploni, biyotcha, let this money be for so and so in your hand. Imrotzo lahachsir, lo yachsir. You can't renege on the deal. Vahadein zoche lechavrei, and the other guy was zoche, and lo yachsir lechazabar, he can't renege on the deal either. Meaning that all these cases are languages of zechiyah, right? This is, I shouldn't say that. It's not clear. Carmenade seems to, and it's not language of Schia, but these are languages, like we said before, which cement the Shlichus in place. I think it's a machlokas between the Carmenade and Pnei Moshe, now that I'm looking at them. That according to Carmenade, it seems like it's just that it cements the Shlichus. According to the Pnei Moshe, it sounds that it means that it's actually Schia on his part. But that's the Poshut Pshat in the Gemara is like the Pnei Moshe, because it says Hadein Zachol Chavrei, he acquired it for his friends. So I would tend to say Pnei Moshe that these are languages which work as Schia as well, not just as Shlichus. Okay? Now, Dilma. Yeah, I'm not that language Yerushalmi a long time. Dilma Yerushalmi to speak means a Meiser, about to tell a story. Okay? Rabbi, I don't know what the derivation is, but that's what it means. About to tell a story. And the story is a complicated one, and I have to be honest with you, this story I prepared while they were davening Mincha here, because I had davened Mincha earlier. So I'm not going to be 100% clear on this story. But let's see if I can semi-wing it and semi-recollect it. Rabbi Dustoy, Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Dustoy, son of Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, and Rabbi Yossi, son of Kippur, Nachdun, they went down to Bavel, right, they temporarily, not to live there. Migbel Chavrei Tamon. They went to collect money for a friend of theirs. Okay, so they were sent to collect money. I assume that wasn't the only reason they were going to Bavel, but they went down to Bavel to go collect money for a friend of theirs. Okay? And they actually had the money. They got the money in hand. Okay? Bisamislein Lishan Bish. Then people started saying Lashon Hara about Rabbi Dustoy and Rabbi Yossi, and started saying, oh, they're not reliable. They're going to embezzle the money on their own. in order to keep the money and not give it to the proper people. So the people who had were saying the money to Eretz Yisrael wanted to take the money back. Amrun loan. So the Rabbi Dustoyim, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Dustoyim, Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Yosef Makiba said, Kvar Zalchina, we already acquired it for on behalf of our the person from Rezecha. So it's too late for you to take it back. So Armin Loan, so the people in Bavel, they said, okay, maybe we can't take it back. But Onan Boi Tikimun Tavos, we want you to preserve it very well. Meaning you have to take very special care with it. I guess they heard Lashonah that they were careless people, right? So we're telling them you have to be very, not they're going to embezzle it, but you have to be very, very, very careful. Armelin, they said, no. Shomer Chinam Anachlu. We're Shomer Chinam. We are going to keep it like a Shomer Chinam. A Shomer Chinam is only Chayav on Pshia, not on Gnev and Aveda. So obviously the conversation was they wanted, I guess the people in Bavel either want to pay them to make them Shomrei Sachar, which are Chayav also in Gnev and Aveda, or they wanted them to upgrade their Shlichos voluntarily to a level of Shomrei Sachar. And they refused. They said, no, we're not going to. So the people in Bavel, they decided they're going to divide them up and attack them separately. So they came to Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yonah first. They were very threatening to him. So the money he was holding on to, Amri Lahoni said to the people, the Babylonians, it should be Hanhu or Hino, I don't know exactly where he is. Here it is. Okay, he gave back the money. Hanu Kulu, here's all the money. Mas bin lo Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur. Then they took Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, and Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur was more of a stout fellow. He didn't give it back right away. So what did they do to him? Patroi, they beat him up. And Vavku Minein, they got the money back from him too. So now the two shlichim, the two agents, are going back to Eretz Yisrael empty-handed, right? Katzalkun lo'acha, when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, Asa, the guy who sent them, came, Lugabi Avu, he went to Rabbi Dustoy's father, to Rabbi Yoina. Armaleh, he says, Leisad Chami, my Avilu Abroch, do you see what your son did for me? In other words, I sent your son to go collect my money in Bavel, and he gave it back out of hand. And when they came to ask him for it back, he gave it back. And that's not right. He was Zoycha for me. He should have kept it at that point, right? They might not have trusted him, but I trusted him. He should have kept it. Now I'm out the money. What? Should have put up a fight at least. Rabbi Dustoy didn't even put up a fight. Right? Okay, but they didn't. Right? You should have kept it. That's what he's going to answer. So Amar Leh, it's not sure clear to me who exactly is responding this way. I guess. What? No, I don't. What?
Talking
to him now. So
you asked
me,
would they have taken away from me if I would have,
I guess that's what I mean. You asked me, were they on a level with me? They wouldn't have gotten minon clue. They wouldn't have taken anything back from me. But they threatened us. Amalei, so he said, Ma'avdis Kain, Rabbi Yana asked Rabbi Dustoy, what did they do? Right? In other words, what did you see that, what made you afraid that you did actually give it back? So Rabbi Dustoy said, Rizio saw, my son saw, the Beis Din there, Shehein, it should be Shehein Amo, the Kovein Amo. They were very tall, and their hats were very tall. They're wearing obviously stovepipe hats. Right. There's a language actually in the Bavli too. I don't remember, it's somewhere around here. I don't remember exactly where. Somebody here on the page quotes where it's in the Bavli. I don't remember which one does.
Hey, this was Dostai, right?
Rabbi Stoy is telling him what he saw in Bavli. He said that they were very tall, their hats were very tall, and they were so tall that, the way the Korban A explains it, they spoke with such a thick voice that it's as if it's kilu medayim chetziyam. It sounded like their voice coming from their stomach, not from their mouth. So what?
Brooklyn.
Okay. So, So they were very violent people. Besides that, I saw Yosi Achi Kofas. I saw Yosi, my brother, bound. Rutsua oil of Yoredis. And I saw the whip going up and down on him. The Amart Amris, and I said, Shema Dustoi Achas Yesh Labo, Achi Yesh Labo. Does my father have another son, Rabbi Dustoi? In other words, am I expendable? So therefore, what I did is I gave the money back. Okay? So it says more, Amar Rabbi Chagar, Rabbi Chayas said, Hadar the Tamar, they were justified in doing that. But who the lo yachol mekayma tavus if they can't withstand it properly? Bramu yachol mekayma tavus, if you were able to withstand it properly, meifik lo min adar v'ichlo nadein, that we take the money actually from the shluchim, even though they didn't bring it back, we actually sue them and say they didn't do the shluchim properly, v'ichlo nadein, and we take it and take it from them and give it to the proper owner. So here it's an oinus. In an oinus, we see you're allowed to cancel your shlichus. But if it's anything less than a proper oinus, then you better keep your shlichus going. Okay, we'll stop here for today. I know, but the rest of the parak, there's a lot of the gersolos are messed up in the rest of the parak, so we'll leave that for tomorrow.